Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Mindset Elevation Coach, Intentional Living Guide, Linda Joy. I'm also the publisher of the beloved Aspire magazine, inspiring, empowering, and supporting women in living their best, most authentic, joy-filled life since 2006. My beautiful friends, if you haven't grabbed your free subscription yet, get on over to subscribe2aspire.com. Guess what we're talking about today? We are talking about one of my favorite energies and vibes to live and lead and love in, and that is joy. And today we're going to be talking about how claiming the joy that is your birthright is as simple as identifying and releasing the obstructions that are within you, within all of us, in order to change your vibrational field. Joining me today, I have been following this soul sister for so long. I love the work she's doing in the world. Her vibration is the essence of joy. Lisa McCourt is the author of Free Your Joy, the 12 Keys to Sustainable Happiness, and many other books about joy and love that have sold over 9 million copies. She's also the host of the Do Joy podcast and the founder of Joy School. The thread that runs through each of these roles is her passionate commitment to unveiling and encouraging the love, joy, and compassion she trusts as inherent to the human condition. When she's not teaching, leading her online joy groups, podcasting, or writing, she enjoys spending time with a husband and two precious daughters, singing in the Agape Global Choir, and serving as president of her local PFLAG chapter. With open arms, she welcomes you to play with her at lisamccourt.com. Well, hello, my beautiful friend.
I'm so excited to talk to you again, Linda. We always have such joy together.
Yeah, we have so many, you know, we've gotten to know each other on a deeper level, especially in the last month. And it's like recognizing a kindred spirit, a soul sister. A lot of our philosophies, our beliefs, even the hard times that we've gone through, even though the stories are different, we both feel blessed that we have found our joy, right? And that we're part of spreading joy. So why don't we start there? I always love to ask my guests, what led you to this passion you have for spreading joy in the world? Was it something in your personal story? Was it part of your own healing journey?
It's funny, right? Like when I meet people that are just, you know, not in my professional world, but just people that are a random thing, and they ask, you know, what do you do? It's like joy trainer. It's like I'm circus people. It's like I still sort of roll my eyes. Like, yeah, I don't know how I got here either. It's just a series of pulling the little threads. And I know that you encourage your clients to follow their passions, to follow that small, quiet voice. And that's really what it's been for me. I was in publishing in the earlier days of my career, but I always had a passion for anything that felt self-growth. I had my first awakening to this whole world at 14. I wish I knew how I had gotten access to this Wayne Dyer book, but I read a book by Wayne Dyer, his very first book, Your Erroneous Zones, which of course the wordplay was completely lost on me at 14. I didn't know what he was talking about, but in that book, I kept all my journals. I'm a lifelong journaler, and I have copied in my little 14-year-old earnest handwriting all these passages from Your Erroneous Zones that just awoken something in me. And it was a very secret part of my life for most of it. Even in my early adulthood, I didn't have any friends. I didn't know people like you. I didn't know any other weirdos who vibed this way that I did. So it was kind of my little closet obsession for a lot of years. And when I wrote my first a children's book that had become very, very popular, I Love You Stinky Face, and I was invited to schools and workshops and conferences to teach because I was then considered a successful author. I started teaching all of these personal development principles that I had been storing away and learning, and under the guise of creativity, I went to schools and taught this to kids under this creativity banner, because schools will invite an author in to talk about creativity. They don't know that she's going to get up there and toss out everything about creating your writing and your art and the way that we think of it, and talk instead about creating your relationships and your life and your relationship with yourself. But that's what I was passionate about teaching. And I suddenly had this opportunity to teach people things. And that's what really opened my eyes to, I need to make this legit. Like, I need to just own that this is what I'm about. And I have this passion for helping to raise awareness of this wisdom that changed my life so dramatically.
I love that. And I believe we're always being led, right? Oh. Like, you stepped on those stages to talk about creativity, but this is my language. My language is the divine was leading you and knew that that had to be your first step so you could get to where you're meant to be, which is what you're doing today.
100%.
And I want to add that book, I Love You Stinky Face, is my grandson's 23. That book is priceless. And I got it for my granddaughter too. And I'll tell you the impact that just that one book, never mind all your others, has made in people's lives is beautiful. So I just had to say thank you for all the memories of me reading it all curled up with my grandson.
That is so kind. Thank you. Yeah, that was when I was still kind of closeted with my personal growth obsession, but it had become so clear to me that so many of us, I'm going to dare to say most of us, are walking around with crippling limitations due to unresolved childhood feelings of unworthiness and undeservingness. So I just wanted to write this book that would help parents to imprint at an early age, no matter what, you are so worthy and so beautiful and so adorable to me that my love for you is constant no matter what. And weirdly, because the kids who were read that, as you're saying, are now in their early 20s and younger, there it's become an emblem for the LGBTQ community, which I serve because I have this wonderful transgender daughter. And they give it, you know, at any age as a gift of allyship to say, I see you, you're perfect, I love you the way you are. So that's just so meaningful to me because this little precious pea who is now my 25-year-old transgender daughter was in my belly when I wrote that book. So there's no...
There's even more special meaning because my grandson is gay. So that was another deep meaning for me reading the book to him. And I have a niece also. And so they grew up with me reading that book because I wanted to know they were loved and accepted and pure just who they are.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if you knew that. So I wanted to share that with you. Without even knowing the background of why you created it, there's no accidents that we have that connection on a soul level too. So again, thank you for that beautiful work.
Aww, and thank you, Annie.
You're welcome. And I want to ask, you know, before our first break, because I hear it all the time, especially because my last name's Joy, and I talk a lot about joy like you do. They're like, Linda, I am happy. I'm like, oh, no. Happiness and joy are completely different for me, vibrational energies and how they feel in my body. How would you describe the difference between joy and happiness?
Yeah, they're different, right? I mean, happiness is a perfectly valid, beautiful, wonderful emotion that is available to us human creatures, but it's unlikely that we would 24/7 identify as happy, right? This is the human journey. We're here to have challenges. We're here to have growth experiences. We're not going to be happy 24/7, but the way we define joy at Joy School is a full acceptance and honoring of all the emotions available to us human creatures, which means that you can be grieving and feel an undercurrent of poignancy and depth and joy in your grief. You can be angry or frustrated and feel a rightness in those emotions that's opening doors to you to lead you where you need to go next. It's always the pushing against and denying and judging of our emotions that causes us to suffer from them. When we can let go of that and just recognize that we're here to have all these beautiful, rich emotions, there's an undercurrent of joy in all of them that can be found. And that's, to me, the biggest difference between joy and happiness.
Beautifully described it. You know, and it's so true that we're here to experience all the emotions. And I know many of us, I'll speak for myself, I used to run from the other emotions, even before I knew about law of attraction and energy. And I'm talking about my 20s and 30s. I did not want to deal with any of the uncomfortable ones. And so you smother them. And I believe it gets stuck in our energy fields, right? Because it's like holding the beach ball down at the beach underwater. It takes so much pressure to hold it down under there. But when you release it, it's like amazing. When I started facing those other and processing those other emotions that we all have to navigate through life, I think that's when my true healing came. And that's when I could access the essence of joy. Have you found that to be true for yourself?
Absolutely. That's the work we do in Joy School. We call it our Feel to Heal practices. And it's understandable. We start accumulating these obstructions when we're really, really young and impressionable, and we have traumas and things that we just can't process. We don't have the emotional bandwidth to process it. And our energy field says, it's okay, I'm going to protect you from this. I'm going to just store it over here until you're ready. And it gets imprinted in our tissues. And there's a lot written about it in the scientific community today. These neuropeptides are actually identifiable from the hormones of stress that we store away in our body. And it just needs the right framework. It needs for us to mature into the humans that we are now, invested in our healing, to allow it to come up and just love ourselves through it and just show ourselves the compassion right where we are, no matter what emotion is coming up for healing, because it's going to look like it's something out there in our current external landscape. But all that's doing is bumping up against those stored traumas, the things out here that we think are causing us all this stress and anxiety and grief. It's just because it's matching the frequency that we've stored away a long time ago, and allowing ourselves to feel it and acknowledge it and process it and love ourselves through it is what releases it, so we don't have to keep attracting it anymore.
Speaking my language, girl, you're speaking my language. We're going to take up first break, and I'll be back in a moment with Lisa McCourt at lisamccourt.com. Be sure to check her out. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspire Conversations. I am so honored that you are here with myself and my special guest, Lisa McCourt, the author of Free Your Joy, The 12 Keys to Sustainable Happiness, as well as host of the Do Joy podcast and founder of Joy School. I love everything that you shared right before the first break. It really resonated with me, my journey of healing. And like you said, if we don't feel to heal it, I believe that it gets stuck in our physical tissues too, and it leads to illness. That's what happened with me over, you know, the last 60 years. And I love that you have a whole process that you teach in Joy School called the Field to Heal Practices, because I think we're taught from a young age, don't cry, don't show this emotion. And then we grow up a bunch of adults who don't know how to process their emotions. Have you found that in the students you work with?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think our parents, I try to always give the benefit of the doubt to parents that they're doing the best they can. They're well-meaning creatures who generally want what's right and good and best and most beneficial for their children. But they have all these stored beliefs and fears themselves that they feel like passing that on is what's going to keep their child protected. And it actually typically does a lot more harm than good. But yeah, the whole discomfort that a parent feels when a child is demonstrating an uncomfortable emotion, that's just going to, whether it's verbally or just energetically transferred, the child's going to be taught to shut that down. And ooh, feeling this is dangerous. Feeling this could cause me to not be loved by my caregivers who I depend on for my sustenance and my life. And we store all this away on a subconscious level, and then it just gets in there, and it becomes the energy that we're creating our lives with. We're creating our external landscape in every moment with what we're emitting from what's in our internal landscape. And when we're just filled with these stored energies, it's not serving us.
Yeah, I've been there. I've had to do a lot of healing in my childhood too, so I'm sure many can relate to this conversation. So for myself, I noticed that when I finally was able to live, lead, serve from the essence of joy, that joy also brought this sense, and I don't know which came first, right? The chicken or the egg, this such a deep sense of inner peace. So was it the inner peace came and then I found the joy? Did the joy lead to inner peace because I'm in that vibration? I'm curious on your thoughts on that.
In terms of chicken and egg, I think that the inner peace I would put as a subcategory of the joy. It's one of the pieces that comprise a joyful inner landscape. But in terms of all that beauty that you've created in your external life, because I know you have with your beautiful relationship and your home and your nature and your grandbaby, all of that is definitely egg. Chicken is getting the peace and joy and internal landscape where we want it all lined up, because that's the energy that we then send out that creates all that beauty in our external landscape.
Oh, I love that language. I love that internal landscape, because I'm a visual person. So I can actually see, like, oh yeah, I want to nurture those essences in my landscape, like a garden, right? Mm-hmm. Pull out the weeds, which are the thoughts, beliefs, et cetera, so that my internal landscape doesn't get all weeded up with the stuff that doesn't work. So thank you for sharing that, because I was curious. So what does sustainable, joyful life look like?
Yeah, that's a great follow-up to what we were just talking about. When I have a new joy schooler, or this is also the journey that I take readers through in my book. So early in the book, it's they're invited. Okay, so what is a joyful life to you? What does that look like? And we spend some time with that and really flesh that out. And typically there's a lot of, you know, my relationships are like this, and my career is like this, and my finances are like this, and my home and my leisure pursuits, you know, these are the things that we typically consider to be a joyful life. And a lot of times they're also, you know, aware from the start that that means more confidence, more inner peace, more tranquility. So all of that that we've identified as what our joyful external landscape will look like is valuable. We're here to do a human life, right? But understanding that chicken and egg piece that you and I just addressed, It's let's put that aside for a moment now, and let's look at we have eight pillars of an internal landscape that is of a high vibration and joyful. And let's look at these and what those would be and get those really fleshed out with the understanding that these inner pillars of a joyful life, those are what are going to create the sustainable part, right? Once we have that in place, once we are that magnet that's creating all this external beauty and meaning and all that stuff that we think it's the other way around, right? We've been trained up to think once I have XYZ in place out there, then I'll have joy in here. And that's an absolute opposite equation. We have to have the right vibration inside in order to create what's out there. Because all of that is really just a ever morphing, dangling carrot at the end of the stick, right? I mean, we think we want this thing and this thing and this thing, because from our limited little human perspective, that's what looks like it's gonna bring me these feelings I want, when really it's always gonna change and never be the same thing year after year, and it shouldn't be. So the sustainable part comes from just knowing how to be the magnet that's going to bring in all the beauty and richness that we ever dream up for ourselves.
I love that phrase magnet, because I believe that, like you, we're all energetic beings. And I love the mantra, I'm a magnet for miracles. And to be aligned with miracles means I have to be aligned with joy, with love, with all of that. So I just love your way of being able to break this down into a deeper understanding for those listening. So you mentioned the eight pillars. What are the eight pillars?
They actually require more unpacking than we could probably do in our time frame together, but they involve, I'll just give you an overview of them.
That's perfect.
Yeah, they involve non-reactivity, which is not about keeping our emotions in check and keeping a cool head in a stressful situation. That is the opposite of what I would ever teach or present to anybody. That's just denying and repressing our true natural feelings. But there are ways to get to a point where the external just authentically brings up a less dramatic response in us. So that's one of the top skills that we hone, is this authentic non-reactivity to the external. It's about curiosity and wonder and letting go, this is huge, of that human tendency to want to be right, to need to know that we're right, because we come to a lot of conclusions early on in our life that we think are protecting us and serving us, and we have to be willing to let go of those, because subscribing to those beliefs, adhering to that belief system, is what's really, really limiting us when it comes to expansiveness and joy and finding out, you know, what could be available to us out there. So it's really a lot of letting go of that need, letting go of the scariness around dropping our convictions and knowing that we're right about everything, and opening to the curiosity and wonderment, because that's what allows awe back into our lives. That's what allows the thrill of novelty and new beliefs and thoughts, and all of that is just waiting right outside these rigid blinders that we, most of us, have been conditioned to go through life with.
So beautifully said. And I love the part about non-reactivity. For me, being a sensitive years ago and still having all the layers of the stuff I hadn't healed yet, I was reactive. And then when you do your inner work, you for me, it's like, if I stay in the essence of love, then like you're witnessing what's going on and you can respond. And that's when I knew I had done some healing myself, when I could stay in a response state with love in witnessing, instead of the reactionary that I was in my 20s and 30s. And you must see your clients go through that transition of being able to be present with what is, instead of fighting against it.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. When we get to the point where we actually welcome challenges and triggers, because we see that each one is a portal to this next up-leveled version of ourselves, when we see how to work with it and use it to our advantage, it's a total game changer.
It is. I was just sharing with a friend how many years ago I felt like a weeping willow tree. And now I feel like an oak. And what I mean from that is that reactionary. Everything happening around me, I'd get drawn in like in the middle of the tornado, especially being an intuitive and empath. And as I learned how to stay in the truth of who I am and stay grounded like an oak tree, I can witness it all and respond from love, not triggers of my wounds from my past. And when the moment I realized that, it was a moment of deep healing for me, that I had the power to choose to react or to respond. And I'm sure you've seen that a lot in your own journey and work with clients.
So much, Linda. And I love the way you describe that, because I feel like it is almost like your eyes get peeled and you see something. And I can tell that you have had this complete shift in your energy and your vibration in your life from deeply kerclunking. Kerclunk, the Joy School word for when that concept that we've heard 1,000 times suddenly goes kerclunk from our headspace into our heart, where it changes us. And once you've had that, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but doesn't it just become like your life would be meaningless if you were doing anything other than helping other people to kerclunk on it? And I can tell that that's what we both are so committed to, is just like, yes, we've seen this thing over here, and most of the people are walking around the world not seeing it, and we just want them to see it in whatever ways we can help facilitate that.
And it's so beautiful, because I want people to feel, all people to feel the inner peace I have, to feel the joy. And those that watch someone like me and you, who are talk about joy and we live this message, I've had the conversation where they go, oh, Linda, it's so easy for you. That's just how you're wired. I'm like, no, I was not wired this way. I had to do the inner work, heal the wounds, and choose over and over again to stay in the energy of joy, to do deep dives, to clear the muck. Do you hear that too? Like, oh, Lisa, this must be your natural energy. And nothing affects you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I had a feeling that you got the same conversation that I did.
Very much. And it just points to the beauty of contrast. You know, it's like maybe people who have always been kind of joyful, they're not going to have the same appreciation for it that you and I have, because we know what it's like to not have that be your default state. And when you have experienced that for a lot of years and you've really been in the yuck of that contrast, I mean, I imagine you're the same. I tell people, I wake up every morning with tears of joy in my eyes. I just can't believe how beautiful my life is. And if I hadn't had the contrast of a very, very, very different kind of life in my earlier childhood and early adulthood, I don't know that I would have the appreciation for it that I have now.
Yeah, it's a deep, deep gratitude I wake up with every day. And you nailed it. It's because of the contrast I've had in my life. And I want to say, for those who hear us saying that with deep gratitude, or I still go through life struggles, we're human. So those things still come up. And I'm still grateful during the midst of it, because I choose to focus on the blessings of a chaotic situation, or I call it life shift, a curveball. So it's parts of it's still a conscious choice when life hits us to stay in alignment with joy and gratitude. And Lisa, we're going to come back and finish this conversation. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about what you say to people who feel like focusing on their own joy is selfish. Because I've heard some women in conversation talk about that, like, well, I'm a mother, I'm a business owner, I don't have time for joy. And I'm like, oh, girl, we got to have a conversation, I tell them. So we'll be back in a moment, my friend, with Lisa McCourt. Visit her at lisamccourt.com. Find out about the Joy School and everything else that she is putting out in the world. We'll be back in a moment.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you feeling called to clear your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual blockages? That's your soul and environment speaking to you and asking you to uncover all the clutter that is preventing you from living the life you envision. Felicia Messina DeHaiti, soul coaching master practitioner and trainer and teacher of advanced interior alignment and medicine wheel feng shui, supports her international clientele by creating inner and outer transformation in their environments and their lives by combining elements from her extensive training, experience, and intuition. Felicia is a master intuitive coach certified by Colette Baron Reed and has served as a master mentor for Denise Lin's Elemental Space Clearing certification course, as well as her Ultimate Clutter Clearing. Explore her offerings, including certification courses in feng shui, space clearing, soul coaching, and Reiki at FeliciaDeHaiti.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No. I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm so honored that you are circled up with myself and Lisa McCourt. We're talking about freeing your joy. So thank you for those great insights in the previous segment. And I want to talk about something that I believe a lot of women struggle with. They think that focusing on their own joy is selfish. And I know a lot of that comes with how they were raised to put themselves last. I'd love your insights on that.
Yeah, it's so true. It's, and especially today, for some reason, there's just so much negativity and so much stress pulling at us from everything around us that it does feel frivolous to a lot of people to go to joy school, right? To read a book about my joy, to invest that time and energy and effort. Like, who has time for that with all of the fires that we're putting out? It's like a whack-a-mole day-to-day existence out there. And what I always just want them to understand, I would love if people just wanted it for themselves because they love themselves that much, but truly most of us do not love ourselves that much. So it helps to point out we are vibrational creatures swimming through a sea of vibration in every moment. Energy affects energy. The vibration that you're emitting in this moment is affecting your kids, your spouse, your immediate circle of friends and family, every person that you interact with on social media or email or anything in your day, the kid making your deli sandwich, the guy who steps onto the elevator you're on, they're all going to be affected by what you're putting out into the energetic environment around you in every moment. It is the kindest thing for every person in your immediate vicinity, and it ripples out from there just like a butterfly effect. The kindest thing for the planet that you can do is put a little bit of attention and energy and effort into raising your own vibration. You will be sunshine shining all over them. And who doesn't want that for you? I wish people wanted it for themselves, but if we can't go there, then it helps to understand, I'm going to do this for my kids. My husband, spouse, partner doesn't need the burden of my happiness. My kids don't need the burden of my happiness. My friends don't need me bitching to them on the phone every week. Everybody's life is going to be elevated when you elevate yours.
Oh, so true. And isn't it, there's a meme goes that is circulating. I think it shows a bunch of stick figure people. And it shows, you know, the negativity spreading until it gets to that one person. And he decides to be the light. And then you can see the light spreading. And so I like to flip the meme and just say, imagine exactly what you just said. You're the light, and it just radiates out to everyone else. Same with joy, right? And even my honey, in the 29 years we've been together, he's like, he's witnessed my transformation and healing. And he said, your spirit is so much lighter, Lynn, you know, in the last 2 decades than it was when I first met him, because I had a lot of angst and anxiety and wanted to micromanage the divine, you know. I think we all go through that at a point. Mm-hmm. And you're right, you just nailed it. My family's more joyful, my relationship is stronger because I show up in my joy and my light. So it's a gift we give others if we're not capable of seeing that we're worthy of it ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. I love that, micromanaging the divine.
Oh yeah, I used to do it all the time. I slide backwards sometimes. I'm like, oops, sorry, I'm still learning. But I was a control freak. Like, can I have this by this date, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
And then I could, once I finally released the micromanaging, I was in full joy, because if you're in joy, you're in trust. If you're in trust, you're in flow. And that's where inner peace and, for myself anyway, the rest comes.
Precisely.
So I love your take of how you teach that's different about positive thinking, because some of it can be toxic. Like, I believe we have to feel everything and not, hey, we can only think positive thoughts. I don't have positive thoughts all the time. Do you, Lisa?
I do not. I do not, Linda.
No. So talk about that, because I think there's some misconceptions going around that, oh my God, I'm not thinking positive. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's just an innocent misperception that a lot of people on a spiritual path have maybe thought that they've heard and understood from teachers of joy and consciousness and higher vibration, is that if I allow myself these darker thoughts, I'm going to be sending out negativity. And it's really the resistance to them that creates the low vibe that goes out there. When we can be embracing of all of the thoughts that cross our mind, when we know how to accept them and love them and show them compassion, it's not a vibration tanking situation anymore. It can actually be vibration elevating in those instances. And I always say at Joy School, your subconscious isn't an idiot, right? If you're adopting this affirmation practice, I'm thinking happy thoughts, I'm thinking happy thoughts, I'm successful, I'm powerful, but, you know, under what circumstances would someone want to begin that sort of a practice? Obviously, it's when you know that your true thoughts and beliefs are not that, right? So your subconscious isn't an idiot. You can't trick it just by saying these words and expect that to change everything up. We have to lower the waterline. We all have a thought and belief, everybody's seen that iceberg model, right? Where the thoughts that we are having that are our conscious thoughts are represented by that teeny tiny little triangle sticking up out of the top of the water, and that big ass chunk under the water, that's all of the unconscious thoughts and beliefs. And that's where our creative energy is coming from. That's where the vibration is coming from that's creating most of our external circumstances, not that little tiny bit on top of the water, but all that stuff under the water. We have to do the work of lowering the waterline so that it can become clear to us, oh, this is the belief that created that. Where did I get that belief along the way? Is that even true? Is this a belief that I want to continue to subscribe to? Because I can see now that I created this whole framework out of some really false messaging that I got at a really early age before I had logic or emotional maturity to question these beliefs. And that changes the default setting on the energy that we send out, because once it's apparent to our rational mind that most of these beliefs we subscribe to aren't even true about our unworthiness and our limitations, that's when it organically changes our energy and our perception filter. We're all seeing reality through a little tiny keyhole. And that's because of all these beliefs that we created. They form this tangly web of perception that blinds us to most of what's available for us to see. So lowering the waterline allows us to expand the keyhole, line it up better, line it up on some better true evidence out there, so that we can authentically shift the beliefs that are running our lives.
Oh my God, I can see that whole visual too. I know exactly the image you're talking about, and with most of the iceberg below the water. And I love what you said about lowering the water level so you can uncover the beliefs that are leading to the resistance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, if there's anything out there in our external landscape that we don't like, you know, because most of us have created a mix. There are things about our lives we love or proud of, we think is, you know, we would never want to change. But if there's anything that we're looking out at like, oh, I really don't like that, it's just something that we created out of a belief that we absorbed really, really early on in life. And so getting clear on what that belief is and how to challenge that belief is what allows a different energy to go out to create something different.
Sacred wisdom, my friend, sacred wisdom. And we're going to take our final break, my friends. And before we do, I want to invite you, visit lisamccourt.com, grab a copy of her book, Free Your Joy, The 12 Keys to Sustainable Success. Check out the Joy School. You will love being in her energy. She has so many offerings on the website, is always hosting powerful classes and introducing amazing visionaries. So learn more at lisamccourt.com. We'll be back in a moment.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Your worth is not determined by the number on the scale. You are enough right now, exactly as you are. If you're like many midlife women, you've thought, if I could just reach my ideal weight, I'd be so much happier. What we're really craving is our own love and acceptance, and Sarah Haas is that guide for your journey. Sarah is a women's weight release expert and body love coach, and walks alongside midlife women ready to say yes to self-care, self-compassion, and body love so they can become the healthy, vibrant, and unapologetically confident women they're here to be. Her holistic approach integrates nutrition, body movement, and self-care to nurture body, mind, and spirit. Visit sarahhaaswellness.com for supportive resources, programs, and more for midlife women ready to reclaim their health.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and Brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversation. Thanks for circling up with us today. So I've heard you say that joy is nothing more than living in full accordance with your truest and inner being. And when I read that, I want to put my hand on my heart and go, yes, yes, yes. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, and in joy school, we use a lot of Eckhart Tolle terminology. That's where I had the bulk of my teacher training, was from Eckhart Tolle. And he used to use these two words that I haven't heard him actually talk about in probably a decade, but he used to say that we all are comprised of a horizontal self and a vertical self. And the horizontal self, of course, is our name, our body, our persona that we've created, all of our beliefs and affiliations and family placement and all of these things that we are presenting as here in this human suit. That's our horizontal self. But every single one of us also has a vertical self, which is our soul, our spirit, our life force essence. That there's no one walking the planet without one, right? There are some corpses and morgues that are just human suits, but everybody who's out there living a life has both of these components. And we've been so trained in our society to ignore that vertical self. And when we can become more aware of it, and that's really just about giving it our attention, giving it our focus so that we can feel its existence in our life more and more, which is not hard to activate once you just, you know, start giving it that attention. That's where our natural joy resides. That's where our compassion for self and others, our love, that all of that is our core essence. And we just all have it obscured to varying extents and in different ways because of that tangly web of beliefs that I keep referencing. The beliefs that we accumulate here are what separate us from recognition of our soul essence, and learning to live from that place is what allows those obstructions to fall away.
So beautiful. And I love that description because I'm a visual person. So I was drawing, as you said, as you were saying, horizontal self, vertical self. And it's like the spirit going up. It's our connection to source.
Yeah. We all have one available to us. We just have to sometimes do a little bit of work and digging around to solidify that connection.
Yeah, because we are taught from a young age, then we have the media coming at us all the time, that we are our physical bodies. And I think the world, or a lot of the world, has just become just so disconnected or never even got to know their vertical self. And I think this awakening that's happening, because I feel so many in the communities are feeling it now, is I am so much more than this physical body. And they're opening to at least learning more about connecting with that phrase you use, vertical self. Are you seeing it too in more and more in your communities that they're yearning for that deeper connection?
Oh yeah, usually by the time they've made it to my community, they're aware that they're yearning for that. But even out there in the world, I think more and more people are awakening to that. And maybe that's part of why it had to get so shitty here, Linda. You know, maybe yeah. It's that contrast. Maybe people really had to look around and say, this is not the world that I want to live in order to awaken to the beauty that's available just by stepping to the left a tiny bit and entering a whole different realm that is also available on this planet at this time.
It's so true, because I know you've gone through difficult times in your life and had a childhood that was full of challenges, as I did. Do you look back now and go, okay, all those challenges led me to who I am today? And like, I have found so much forgiveness in my heart and acceptance. Like, I no longer carry the energy of the shiz from back then. I carried it for many decades. Have you found that to be true, that doing this work helps us release those layers of baggage that we are energetically carrying, not just psychologically? Have you found that to be true on your own journey?
Oh, so much, so much. And I love that you referenced the layers, because I also believe that as long as we're here in our human suit, the layers are going to continue. They're available to us. I went through like a really long stretch when I was teaching joy primarily around my most recent book that I wrote in my own name, my Hay House book. I really thought like, okay, I've got this thing mastered. I don't have any challenges anymore. I have no more bad experiences anymore. And for like a solid decade, Linda, I didn't. And I was just thinking like, wow, I got this figured out. I'm patting myself on the back. And then I had a whopper of a challenge a little over a year ago with my family of origin. And of course, family of origin stuff is going to be the hardest to heal and the longest running to heal. And it was just really beautiful because it expanded me in a way that I did not even realize I still was so ripe to be expanded in. It let me see how deep my people pleasing instincts run, how important it always was to me to please these family of origin people, no matter how badly they were abusing me. And I had to basically divorce half of my family of origin a little over a year ago, and it broke my heart, and it was hard, but it invited so much of the people who love me and support me in my family and created family. It invited them to come in and really show me a new level of receiving, because I wasn't great at receiving. I thought I was, but I definitely needed an up level there. I definitely needed an up level to my personal boundaries and what I'm going to allow into my life and what kind of abuse I'm willing to take from others in the name of being a kind, compassionate person. You know, those of us who we're all about the compassion, we think that because we've achieved a level where it comes naturally to us, we have to make up for where it doesn't in others, right? We have to be this completely welcoming vessel for their abuse because we have this expanded capacity for compassion. So my eyes were open to so much just in the past few years around that family of origin issue that I realized, wow, it is a never-ending onion and some of the layers are thick.
I love it. And I love that you said layers, because that's how it feels to me. And I don't judge it. I go, ah, I call it muck. When muck comes up, I'm like, something else for me to release, because I know it's in my highest and best good, even if it doesn't feel good at the time. And that story you just shared, and I love your the phrasing you use, family of origin and created family. It just, I love the part when you say chosen family, because I have some that are chosen family that I am closer to than my family of origin. And that's not a judgment on, in my case, on my family of origin. Sometimes there's just these soul connections, and sometimes relationships have served their purpose, right? And I really resonated with everything you shared. And I just want to thank you for your vulnerability and sharing that, because I know it was a difficult time in your life. So for all who are listening, we get you. We've been through a lot of muck, Lisa and myself. And if you're experiencing it too, just use our stories to know that joy is there for you too. And I hope you connect with Lisa and learn more about the Joy School. So we have a few moments left, Lisa. Is there any, more than the wisdom you've already shared, is there something you're feeling led that you want them to know, or a tip or strategy or a beginning step that you can share with the audience?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to, and I almost hate using this term because I feel like it's become so cliche and it has this sophomoric overtone, but it's really about your self-love, darlings. You have to look at your level of self-love and self-compassion and gentleness with your own precious self. And wherever it is, whatever level you've achieved there, just work to bump it up. That's what the journey is about. Is it's just this next level up, and this next level up in you being able to honor your own precious sweet soul wherever you are in your journey. It's all perfect. It's all just brought you to this exquisite, beautiful moment for the next level up. And the more you can focus on loving you and being compassionate with you and kind and tender and gentle with you, the more you're going to expand your consciousness. And that's kind of the bottom line.
It's a beautiful bottom line. Lisa, I just am so grateful for our deeper connection. We've known each other for a long time. We've been in each other's circles for a long time. Your book has been a part of my family's life. And to get to know you on this deeper level over the last month, thank you, my friend. I love the magic you're putting on the world. I'm so honored that I got to share your wisdom and your mission with my audience. So thank you.
Oh, I feel so blessed to grow this connection with you too, my beautiful sister. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome. And I want to invite everyone again, please visit Lisa at lisamccourt.com. Once you get there, check out the Joy School. Of course, listen to her Do Joy podcast and watch for her article in the August-September issue of Aspire magazine. I will be sharing even more of her wisdom in an upcoming issue. And if you haven't already, you can get your free subscription at subscribetoaspire.com. Until next time, my friends, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.